applicable state and federal laws.
Well, I understand that. I have no problem with the, you know, with the intent of that.
Right.
But I, again, would like to say every effort would be made to. Because there may just come a time when, I don't know why, where there's a meeting in a city where there's a snowstorm, mm-hmm. and so the place that you were going to use, which is accessible, ends up not being accessible, but another place is. You know what I mean? There are just things that happen in life. Yeah. So I would like to...
That's a good point. As many will recall, in January of this year, when we met in New York in the Union Hall, which was otherwise a good location, there was not ADA accessible access to any part of the facility, or at least the bathrooms. But we may
I'm
do.
Not an expert on
we may do.
It was a big problem, but we had 7 days to put that meeting together.
We did.
Find out what the ADA, what the law, what the actual regulation says. But I think we really need to be careful about extending it to events. Bob and I have had this argument.
That's a problem.
Have to be careful with that.
Okay, folks.
Moreover, when KBFT is an older building, and you know, we can't put an elevator in there. It's cost prohibitive.
Well, that's what we don't know what the ADA regulations are. I mean, I have to put an elevator in at the first floor is accessible. You know what I mean?
Can we
that's what I was going to ask, if we could take a show of hands on all reasonable attempts or efforts or, you know, some language like that, as strong as it could be, language like that all meetings be held in fully accessible spaces and facilities. Well, again, this is about, this is in the section of
meetings
of the board. So that, you know, in another place in the bylaws, we can come back to the broader issue.
Applicable state and federal laws, I think, is a good.
Okay, but people, we understand the intent that we're trying to get here, right?
Right.
Okay, all in favor, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's unanimous. Did you raise your hand?
Yeah.
Okay, unanimous.
You're getting ugly now, man.
Okay, now. We've done Article 6. Article 7, committees of the board. And apparently there were differences in the various proposals. So there are three sections here: executive committee, standing committees, and other advisory committees. So let's do them one at a time. First is executive committee. Yeah, the question is, do we want to have an executive committee? I'll speak to this question. I mentioned it last night. Oh yes, I did, and then I was hissed at.
You want it again?
Yeah.
You got the snake there.
I believe that there should be an executive committee. I think that the problem in the past was not that there was an executive committee. In fact, I think all the lawsuits, I can't remember all the language of all the lawsuits, spoke not to the fact that there was an executive committee, but that there was an abuse of power of the executive committee or a misuse of the powers of the executive committee. And I don't really want to throw out the baby with the bathwater here. Just because a group of people who were taking this foundation in the wrong direction misused some committee structure doesn't mean that the idea of having a committee like this is in and of itself bad. So, having said that, I also think it's a good idea. I think that if you don't have it, that especially over time, what will happen is that especially the board chair, but maybe other officers too, are going to inevitably call up some other people on the board and not call all 15 or 18 members, whatever it ends up being, to say, what do you think about this? What about that? And there's going to be an informally put together committee of people who have more information than other people with no accountability, with no obligation to report back to the larger board or the larger community, and with nobody having decided those are the people that should be talked to. And I also think there's an issue about the relationship between the board and the national staff, in particular the executive director, but other key positions on the national staff. And how do you funnel information back and forth? And I think having a smaller group of people that's neither everybody on the board calling the staff every day, whatever, nor only one person doing it. I think there's greater accountability if you have a designated way to put together an executive committee with an understanding about what their powers or authorities are and what the limits of that are and how they have to function. So that's why I think there should be one.
If I could just echo that, we were talking about it last night, and that has proven to be, I think, a substantial problem between the national office and the executive director and this board, the issue of communications. How do we, if I need to make a decision or the general managers and I need to make a decision about something and we want to pass it through the board, how do we do that? It's very difficult. The legal settlement envisages equality among each board member. So 14, 15 board members have to be involved or should be involved in all key decision-making affecting the foundation. That's practically very, very difficult to do. So the national office certainly needs a mechanism of communication and decision-making with the broader national board that doesn't involve calling and getting, you know, all 15 board members together to talk about issues.
Okay, I have Janice and Jabari and Carol.
The language here, though, says that this executive committee is not going to act on its own.
Wait, what
right?
language are you looking at?
The executive committee shall not have the full authority to act on behalf of the full board.
Where are you?
Unless on what the KPFA 2452 on the small grid.
On the grid.
Unless such authority has been specifically delegated to it by resolution of the board for a specific purpose.
Right.
For the exact. At that point, the board is going to say, executive committee, you can act on this particular. You can do something on this particular subject, on this circumstance.
This language contemplated an executive committee sort of acting as traffic cops. So an issue comes up. Dan's got a problem he thinks the board needs to be in the loop on. We get served with a lawsuit. I don't know. An issue comes up. The executive committee, under this proposal, and this may not be good enough, may not be enough authority, doesn't have the authority of the full board to decide anything. Anything that requires approval of the board.
It's discussing.
But what the executive committee can do is refer the matter to an appropriate board committee. Dan's got a question. He said, you know, that should go to the personnel committee. Or may convene a special meeting of the board, to all the board, to discuss it. Or can say, you know, this is within your purview, Dan. You deal with it. Refer it back to the executive director. That's what is laid out in this proposal. The executive committee cannot act with the authority of the full board unless the board delegates that authority to it. So, an issue comes up, call a special meeting, you know, we say, we're going to put that in the executive committee to deal with and report back.
Well, that doesn't solve the scenario he just described.
So I want to know, Dan, what do you think?
I think you probably are going to need to have some kind of substantial authority in an executive committee to make a decision.
On what?
Well, it could be a legal matter, could be a programming issue, could be a personnel issue.
Are these quick decisions or long decisions?
I think probably. Probably a bit of both, I would imagine. You can envisage. A lawsuit issue, a personnel issue. I don't have specifics that come to mind, but I think you would need.
I got
to have
a specific. I got a specific. Say somebody says. Say somebody brings to the board a grant opportunity. So and so says we're going to give you $250,000. and here's the conditions, or here's the time frame that you got to make this decision in, and there may be some paperwork that you have to do, or some. Well, that's my point. Is that something that you would think come under the executive committee, or would that be some other standing executive function, or something? You know, how would you deal with is would that deal with that?
Yeah, I think that could be a good example. That kind of grant, you would want a sizable grant, say a $250,000 from the Ford Foundation. It's a lot of money relative to the budget of the organization. It might be the type of thing you want to sign off with the board that that this doesn't cause any problems or potential conflicts of interest. You want to inform and have the board engaged in that decision. You call an executive committee meeting as soon as possible. The executive committee signs off on it. That would be the type of decision that you could.
Would you consider that something to give you guidance to say we bless you pursuing that interest versus them actually getting into a managerial mode?
Yes. Micromanaging.
Yeah, the former. No, I wouldn't consider that micromanaging. I would consider that important dialogue and feedback and approval for a decision that may be more substantive than the day-to-day operational decisions that an executive director makes. I think an executive...
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, George, what's next?
Yes, the Houston Governance Committee has worked on this issue. We've looked at it and decided that we need to have an executive committee, a chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer, executive director who's a non-voting ex officio member, then one member at large. And the duties would be to plan preliminary agendas, preview reports, recommend motions. Members of the board of directors may also do so. Initiate special meetings and or workshops. And most important in this context, handle emergency legislation. But it cannot approve legislation or expenditure of funds without two-thirds approval of the board of directors. And the meetings will be prior to every national board meeting and may be closed for cause, but the minutes must be public and presented at the national board meeting.
Okay. I think Janice was next.
It just seems to me the way this is written, I don't see the point of having one if they can't do anything. It just doesn't seem like it works if you're just going to meet and just talk.
I'm getting queasy about having any small group that doesn't have its authority well defined. We have a personnel committee. We've defined what its duties and responsibilities and the limits are. I really don't want a committee whose limits are not defined. I think that's very very dangerous. I think that if the executive committee needs more authority than to refer things to a committee or call a special meeting, it should call a special meeting to ask for that authority and say, here's the situation. We're going to need to deal with it. Let's let the executive committee be the committee responsible for this thing, whatever it is. And I think that should be sufficient.
You know what's going to happen, though? The reverse will happen. The executive director will then never go to the board. That'll be part of the problem because the executive director will then be faced with a large, more unmanageable and onerous task ahead of him or her to get a decision out of the board. Because I can see it with myself. I mean, honestly, you know, if I have an issue that's a big issue or an issue that I want to get the board involved in, and I think, well, you know, it's going to be a hot political issue. Do I really want to go to the board with this? You know, it'll never be.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You see, that's what happens. You then begin to think, you know, it's not worth it. I'll just try to, I'll just try to deal with it on my own, when really what I want is that feedback, or an executive director wants that engagement and needs that engagement with the component part of the board to come to a decision on a key issue. So unfortunately, I think you have to balance that structure in a way that Leslie's talking about. It's not the existence of that structure that is the problem, but the abuse of power that existed previously in the way that that was working. So if you don't go for the structure, then you lose actually a level of accountability that you may want.
So is discussion enough?
Rob?
I think that the issue, and I tend to agree with Carol here, I think the issue is, in the past there has been extremely poor communication in terms of even allowing people on the board to understand what's going on. And the tendency is, once you've made a decision and it's done, then it's easy for the people that made the decision to go out there and lobby everybody else and say, you know, whatever we did was right because we did it. And there's, we're people, and that's the way we behave. I think recently we've had a number of situations where we've had to do something quickly, and I think we haven't had an executive committee, but what we've done is we've tried to work with management to get things done quickly, and then because there's no executive committee, it's been on all of the people that made the decision to make sure that we got out and told the rest of the board what's going on, so we weren't accused of doing that. So in a way, the culture recently has been to try to work to overcome the past by communicating. I guess the question that I have is there anything that prevents Dan and Leslie from saying, when there is an urgent issue, I need to get a group of people to advise me to help make a decision quick or to do something quickly? Do we have to have an executive committee to behave like that?
No, but I must say, you know, you'll either believe me or not, that you're actually kind of lucky that you have me in this position, right? Because, in fact, you may not all believe it, but everything has been shared with people, right? But somebody could easily decide, I'm not going to share this. I'm going to call my favorite person on the board, or the person I think is just going to, you know, say, yeah, do whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? So that's what I think that it could, that it's easier for, I think, for one person in the position of the chair to abuse their power than actually for a committee to abuse its authorities. I do think it needs to be spelled out and clear, and I think this would need more work. You know, we need to fill it in more, exactly what it can do and what it can't do, what the limits of it
are. And just as a quick addendum to that, who does the executive director report to? Does the executive director
board.
Needs, right, but who on the board or the what
board.
Body?
The board. The whole board.
Yeah, but
everybody.
You know,
everybody, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now
No, I mean, that's fine. But what do you mean? What does that mean in a practical way?
Let's take a few more comments and then test the water. See where we are. Carol and then Janice. I see you, man.
The executive director is accountable to the full board, but the executive director doesn't necessarily need to discuss every matter that comes, that he or she may want some guidance on with the full board. That's what you're saying, Dan, is that there are times when you might want to run something past a committee of the board that has higher authority than you are. I think that if we had an executive committee that had to have somebody from all five signal areas on it,
yes,
and all the board officers on it, and that had to report to the full board everything it did within a reasonable period of time. I don't see why it needs more authority, though, than to call a special board meeting or delegate it to a committee or to ask for authority.
Recommend action.
Or to recommend action.
Right. Okay.
I do not think that there are very many situations where the executive committee should be permitted to take an action to approve something that Dan doesn't have within his purview to do himself. We delegate an awful lot of authority to an executive director. It's his or her job to manage the foundation. And if there's something that's so troublesome to him or her that he wants some board feedback on it, then I don't think that five people on the board should be able to do that.
Right. Okay, Janice.
I just want to be clear on the last thing. The thinking about it's recommend an action, and what else did you all say?
Well, I say the executive committee can call a special meeting of the board, can delegate something to another committee, or refer it back to Dan or the executive director.
So they can recommend actions, but they can't make any decisions on anything.
No, they can't make a decision that Dan couldn't make.
That's okay, Jabari.
I think part of the problem, or the problem of the friction, is that the board hasn't been set up to designate the fundamental activities that we think need to always be dealt with. I think if we set up the board from a basis of activities that are required to be dealt with, from the point of view of what really has to happen from the executive delegation direction point of view, because we're board of directors, so we are supposed to direct. So I think part of the issue with any executive director would be surrounding some very fundamental everyday issues of authority in some very common everyday activities. You got personnel issues, you got finance issues, you got legal potential issues. Okay, so when you have an issue about financing, the obvious thing you should do is come to the treasurer and the finance committee. If you got issues that something's going wild here in Texas or LA with personnel, you have a personnel committee. So whoever was in those bodies, those would be the natural ties from an activity point of view. So when the executive says, I got a problem in this area of activities, who should I naturally go to on the board to bring information and get guidance on? I think if we set it up that way, we will in fact have a distributed, quote, executive committee that deals with the administrative aspects of getting information, disseminating to whoever else needs to do it, and provide guidance that is accepted from the executive as being sufficient guidance for you to feel comfortable that you can take whatever actions that you need to take. Am I kind of close to what you're looking at?
Yeah, that's, and we kind of do that a little bit
right
now. But yeah,
the board is fully
developed, and there's the committees that are formed, and then that makes sense.
So I would think trying to hear what Leslie is the crux of what she's trying to get at. Executive committee would deal with, in my mind, first the administrative aspects of accumulating information, finding out what the deal is, who else do you need to bring in the process, and then resolve, and then giving a direction to whoever needs to do it. I think if we create these subcommittee structures around what we consider to be core activities, like I say, personnel issues, legal issues, finance issues, which are the three that just popped in my mind that I know you deal with.
Okay, we need to break for the CD change. I mean, you can keep talking, but you're not going to be recorded.
No, I don't think we need one. If we create the structure.
Yeah, less than a minute. They just need to do some technical.
No, I'm just saying.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot of that is, or some of that is generally what we do now. I mean, even though there's only two committees.
Okay, so what about what Leslie was saying?
As soon as they get us back on, we'll take it up again.
All due effort to try to come to the disclosure. in Pacifica here. We have wheelchair accessible.
I know, we have skills.
So what, what are the words?
That's all you want. Okay, we're on. Okay. We're going. So, right.
So I'm trying to synthesize. I'm trying to synthesize what I'm feeling from you and what I'm hearing from Dan, and how I know how he and I talk about stuff. Like, you know, CPB comes up. He comes to me and said, "Look, we da 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 da," because I have to sign stuff and things like that. Okay, so I would assume, since we got all these personnel issues, because there's such a unified body of people here, that we need to have some kind of. He needs to feel comfortable that when somebody says we need to do this in location X, that if he does this, he don't get his head chewed off because he didn't feel he got enough guidance, or other people didn't feel that they knew what was going on, or something along those lines. Right?
Okay. I'm sorry.
So where to fundamentally right. say, I don't think we need an executive committee per se, quote unquote. I think we need to create a structure that will satisfy the activities that would be on an executive level of administrative, in administrative capacity.
Okay. I know Mary and Donna both had their hands up, so let's just hear some quick comments from the two of you.
Thank you. The things that Dan said, with all due respect, sounds incredibly like the rationale I heard before as this in the 90s and on up for the shortcuts to be taken to avoid due process. It's much longer and harder, everyone feels, to follow due process, and there's always a need to act now instead of 10 minutes later, an hour later, whatever. And it always is perfectly well-intentioned, and this is how we end up with the things, the abuses we had. It's not because we had the abuses, but a proper structure wouldn't have those. Such a structure, as you talked about, Dan, invite those abuses, and in fact, probably, it's hard to imagine how they wouldn't lead to them. You were talking about a small group of people having the authority. That's very different from Carol's function and what Leslie had the need of, to have a traffic controlling situation, to schedule meetings, to coordinate among the committees, such as Jabari's talking about, who would do this kind of thing. We need to, you've got a personnel problem, okay, you get hold of the, if you can't get hold of the personnel committee directly, then you get hold of the coordinating committee, or whatever. I suggest a different name, because executive, we have the executive branch someplace else, and it's very pernicious, and I don't think we like that name. So I really think that we should have the function that Carol outlined, and I really, Dan, want you to look back on some of the histories. You lived through some of it, and you're sounding just like it now.
Okay. Donna.
It's a tough job.
Just talk a little louder, please.
Stand up, please.
There was past abuse of an executive committee. There's obviously worry about future abuse. One word, recall.
All right, thank you. That we're all committed to having recall. Right, so she was reminding us about this. Can I just suggest that I would feel perfectly comfortable not calling this an executive committee, calling it a coordinating committee, because then it also is clear about what its function is to help coordinate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it needs to be spelled out more, right? So it's very clear about what it's doing. Okay, I'm sorry, David, do you think it's...
Just quickly, I was going to say, you know, one thing that we ran into, I think Rob mentioned it earlier, I remember when I read like 52 pages of letters that Rob wrote to the executive director and to the chair of the board of Pacifica over the last several years prior to the victories in December, detailing the abuses of the executive committee. It isn't the committee that was abusive.
Right.
It was the people on it that abused the power. Any system we design is going to be susceptible to abuse.
Right.
A rat can get through a hole the size of a quarter. A human can perform any kind of crime, ultimately committed to do so. I think that we can only design it so much to protect. We need to also design it to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be able to create a nimbleness and administrative capability so we can accomplish what we need to do. And sometimes that requires conduct between regular board meetings, thus the purpose of a coordinating committee. And I think that we need to recognize that we got to stop trying to hamstring ourselves. I mean, I know Jabari thought I did in some ways, but I'm just trying to get him in a wheelchair. That's another issue. We'll talk about that later. This is an experiment.
Okay, I was about to say that.
Okay,
okay.
This is
quickly
the general.
Get his mother in the elevator, too.
All right, Lydia just wanted to add one short thing.
With Pacifica and their executive committee, but that's not true of all nonprofits. I mean, we have a very, in the nonprofit I'm involved with, we have a very effective executive committee, and we eventually, you know, we in short order communicate this information to the full board, etc. Most of the nonprofits in the progressive community that I have worked with have very effective, trustworthy executive committees that have helped keeping the organization going and moving forward. And I don't know how he developed that level of trust and whatever, but I do agree with Dave that it was that one decomposition, that horrible experience we have, but that shouldn't define us for eternity.
And in fact, I think in the last 2 years, really, from early 1999 through to the end of, until they tried to reform an executive committee in September of 2001, in fact, there was an absence of structure on the board, right, which is what one of the big problems was, the absence of structure rather than the existence of a renegade group, which organized group within the board.
Okay, folks, I want to suggest to see if where we are in this. Is there agreement that with an understanding that needs to be spelled out much more clearly,
yes,
and that it would include, at least one person from each of the five signal areas, the officers, maybe other committee heads, you know, we have to figure out exactly what the composition is, that we would feel comfortable with a coordinating committee. Again, we're not locking in exactly everything. You know, we need language to work that. Is there support for that?
Yeah.
Coordinating committee. Okay. Any opposition?
It's very clearly.
Okay, got that. Okay, next.
They're
going to
have a uniform?
Okay, next. Standing committees.
They should get chairs.
They should get chairs immediately.
Okay. We chair a standing committee.
Yes, we get it. Okay. Oh. So, standing committees. Now, I know that KBFK's unified meeting, whatever, I forget the thing yet, came up with that basically there are two committees, the National Administrative Committee and the National Program Committee. And for those of you who have the small grid, it's on page 25, 26, 27.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, where it's explained what the function. So I'm not going to repeat all that right now. And then KPFA suggested three standing committees, a programming committee, a budget committee, and a governance committee. And I think David Furtick also had several committees. He suggested
four? Yeah, finance, personnel, governance, and elections.
Oh, okay. It says the three, so I guess whoever typed this in was wrong.
KBFT
also had several. Three.
KBFT has personnel, which is oversight of national staff, finance, which is treasurer and members dealing with funds, anti-racism, mission, commission, archives, and technology.
Oh, that's a new one. New staff.
Who is going to work on these committees?
Well, I don't know where we go. It's now 10 to 9, so I'm not sure that we're going to resolve this tonight. Yeah.
A quick comment on the committees. In the bylaws, you know, you really don't, you know, there's going to be other committees. And the committees that George just mentioned, I think, are exceptionally important.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in terms of standing committees for the purpose of operating the organization, we don't need to have, you know, and the board will create other committees. I guarantee you this is Pacifica.
Yeah.
Carol.
I think all of these drafts have a section, following section, that says the board may establish such other committees as may be needed. So, but I think it's absolutely essential that we have a committee that oversees finances.
Yes.
And we need a finance budget audit committee. We don't have that. We've got a big problem. I think we need a governance committee primarily to biennially review the bylaws and make sure that our governing structure is working and to make recommendations, and also to help develop the policies and procedures documents that we're going to need.
To coordinate on the election stuff as well?
I don't see why not. Yeah. And it could break itself down into subcommittees, because one of the things that is in our structural minds is that a board committee doesn't just consist of board members.
Right.
It consists of some board members, national board members, some local board members, and the local board is going to have a parallel committee structure so that things get talked about throughout the organization before they get put into stone through a resolution of the board of directors. But I think we have to have a finance committee, we have to have a governance committee, and we have to have some committee whose duty, I don't care what you call it, is to make certain the foundation is fulfilling its purposes and not doing something else.
Okay, let me just ask, because the KBFK proposal is different in conception, I think, than the other ones. Right, it has two kind of committees. Administrative and the programming. So I think maybe let's first see about the orientation that we want to take. Do you want to go with the KPFK orientation as laid out, or do you want to go with another orientation which might have three committees or five committees or, you know, whatever the exact number would be?
We should just take a list of committees and see how many people believe which committees we should have.
Okay, but again, because the KPFK, if you read the model, it is about an orientation. It's not just randomly that there are two.
It's one different structural concept.
Yeah, so in my mind, we should settle on whether or not we're going to go with that orientation to it or another orientation, which is then we would just list the various ideas of committees and vote on which ones we want to have.
Can you explain
Leslie, do you want? Yeah, Leslie, do you want to just say a word or two?
Yeah,
okay.
Stand up.
No, I don't want to read.
Just a couple words about the KPFK model here. What it does is it effectively divides the. It effectively divides the PNB and the local boards into two subsets, so that everybody has to serve either on the administrative or the programming committee. And what it does is it brings the people up from local to national based on their expertise in each area, so that you have a national programming committee that's composed of local programming people who understand the local issues and can fulfill the mission and relate in that way. And administrative takes care of financial and personnel and legal compliance, and they all work from local, come up from local to parallel seats on national. So everybody comes with certain expertise and certain knowledge of local areas. Does that help?
Okay.
If I'm reading this correctly, and I'm sort of like Jabari, I was kind of trying to stay away from reading it, and it looks like this committee is going to set programming policy for the foundation. Am I correct?
That's what its purpose is.
It will set national policy. There will be a local committee that sets local policy, and this committee will have more of an oversight function to make sure the locals are in compliance with the mission.
Okay, be bought and stand. Obviously, there's more detail, but I think Leslie gave an outline of the orientation. So I think we should first see if people want to go with that orientation, that approach. Okay? So all those who would like to go with that approach, raise your hand. Okay.
Too early.
Thank you for your support.
You say thanks for listening.
That just feels so good. I know.
but really though, thank you for the work. Because we do know a lot of work went into thinking this through, and I do think important ideas came forth through that. So just because people don't want to go with it doesn't mean it wasn't taken seriously or recognized. Though we don't recognize it, a lot of work that was going into.
I do thank you.
Okay. The snakes will be in your bedroom tonight.
video. On committees.
It's 8:57.
Right. I think we can get through. What I want to suggest is that we not have a detailed discussion about the function of every committee. That if we get some basic committees that we agree on, again, other committees can always be added if we adopt the third clause there, the third section, that the board has a right to develop other committees. But let's see, you know, what basic ones we have agreement on. So I just want to rattle them off. For instance, does everybody agree that we should have a finance committee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes, that's unanimous. What about a governance committee? Does everybody agree we should have a governance committee?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so...
Where's governance?
So it needs more discussion. I'm sorry, I think it was five. Four or five.
Let them have a discussion. What do you
the
mean
governance committee, there should be a governance committee that shall biannually review the foundation bylaws and make recommendations as needed, which shall develop and recommend operating guidelines and procedures for the board, and it should have an oversee
elections.
That's where the responsibility would lie. The governance committee shall consist of at least one director from each station area and two local station board members from each station area. In addition, if we do have at large directors, they may serve on this committee.
Okay, so that fills it in a little bit, what the governance committee would do. I mean, it could be filled in more, you know, in more work on this. So how many people feel we should have a governance committee? There should be a standing committee. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And, okay, so seven, and one opposed.
Who's opposed?
Abstaining.
Don't say opposed.
I'm sorry. I said opposed or abstaining.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes, you abstain.
Okay.
You want
abstain.
The yeah.
Okay. Now, what about programming committee? Yeah.
That's no. Have a program.
Does somebody want to define what the tasks of a program committee would be?
Well, we've got one definition here. It is there shall be a program committee which shall review and evaluate the programming of all Pacifica radio stations and national programming to ensure that each station is fulfilling the purposes of the foundation. Program committee shall consist of one director from each station area and two local station board members from each station area who shall be elected by their local respective. We don't need that, who shall be elected. In addition, up to three at-large directors, if we have them, shall serve on this committee. In the event that a program committee determines that a local station is not adequately fulfilling Pacifica's purposes, the committee shall meet and confer with the executive director, the station manager, and the local station board for that station to develop corrective plans and policies and may make recommendations for corrective action to the full board of directors.
Okay, let me just also call on Leslie again, because I know you also, one of the two main committees, yeah, it's programming, so you probably have other thoughts on what should go in the program committee.
Yeah. Could you stand up, Leslie?
Sure. The wording we've got, the National Program Committee, the duties and powers shall be advise on national program policy to include diversity goals, review current national programming, and preview prospective national programming on a quarterly basis and make recommendations to this body, monitor local and national compliance with the Pacifica mission, long-term planning, such as webcasts, low-power stations, technical innovations, and be responsible for technical and technological development and compliance with federal and other broadcast rules and regulations. Meetings shall be open, et cetera. Remedies, in the event that the NPC, the National Programming Council, finds that a local programming policy is not in compliance with the Pacifica mission, the NPC shall recommend to the PNB that it override the local policy. The PNB, with a two-thirds supermajority, may override that non-compliance policy. So we've got basically is advise on program national programming, review and preview, monitor compliance with mission, and long-term planning as to alternate technologies.
Okay. Leslie?
Yeah.
Leslie, how is this monitor local and national compliance? How would that happen with the Pacifica mission? Is there going to be some kind of weighted evaluation form or something?
Like a simple...
I think that's determined by the committee.
Committee just has to listen to all five stations 24 hours a day.
Simple.
No, I think it's determined by the whole term. I think the extent they wanted to do that, if they just wanted to take complaints and concerns from listeners, or if they wanted to actively listen to 24/7 the stations,
right.
That would be up to the committee to determine. But perhaps this body would instruct the committee.
Mm-hmm. How does an executive director and a national program director function within this? Whatever it is.
The same way they would on the local level with the program council. This would be advisory to those folks, and any disputes with any significant disputes that couldn't be resolved by normal conversation, I suppose, would come before the PNB.
But it says here, be responsible for technical and technological development and compliance with federal and other broadcast rules and regulations. Now, I know that you already do that, don't you? Isn't that, that's one of the main functions of your job. So are they helping him? Are they getting in his way?
No, they are helping him to the extent that this board is also responsible for legal compliance. This is the committee of that board that is responsible for legal compliance. I mean, he is on the ground floor dealing day to day with that compliance, but this body is ultimately responsible. And that
it's like the lab and the station manager.
Yeah, you know, and this is put here.
But if
okay,
that
okay. Let's get some other folks. We got Rob and Carol. Okay, Rob and Carol.
This is a question. I'm sorry. Would you like to go first?
No. She said Rob and Carol, and I've been like,
oh, I'm
Rob
so
Jabari
sorry.
And Carol.
Rob Jabari and Carol.
I'm sorry.
Jabari, you take my place.
No, brother. No, you go ahead. My esteemed colleague
after
from
you,
March. No.
It'll be nice.
Please. Okay, right, Carol.
This is a question for my fellow board members, because this, to me, as a board member, has been a problem since I've been on the board. And we had a program committee. We're a national network, and we have one national program that we produce, period. And no one on this board has ever, except as far as I know myself, has said, shouldn't we be looking at more of that? If we're not going to have a program committee, how are we going to deal with apparent problems that we have?
I think we all have talked about that, Rob. Everybody would like to have more than one national show. But we just don't have the wherewithal right now. But I think everybody wants more than one.
Okay, so let's not get into the argument about the specific programs we'd like to have and not have. But
no,
you're
not
saying,
specific
you're saying we need a program.
That is
committee.
An issue. As a network only producing a single program.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's
shameful.
Yeah,
it is.
Not
production,
it's distribution.
No, you're talking about Peace Watch. You're talking about Peace Watch?
To distribute
now? Democracy Now is
okay,
which
so
is two.
So there are two, I believe.
Well, for
Peace
no,
Watch.
Own Democracy Now.
We don't.
Excuse me. Okay, Peace
I
Watch
understand
though,
that.
Is also being
it's
produced now. Every day. It's a daily program.
It's the only one.
It just came on relatively recently.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so how does that fit?
The point is, you think there should be a program committee.
I think that unless we have a program committee that is preoccupied with some of those issues and really puts in it, we really hold it accountable, then we're not going to be doing our job.
Okay, Jabari.
I think it's, to me, so obvious that if your business is radio, you need to have a committee or you need to have a entity that evaluates your end product.
Okay.
It's like your car company, how are our cars doing? But the thing I would just take out of that, because it's really way too verbose, but the issue about technology development...
There should be another company.
Oh, you just had... You could. But the issue of technology development, I would extract and make it's an inside joke. I would extract that, because I think there really needs to be a committee that
separate
deals with technology development.
Okay.
In the totality, not just in the purview of.
Okay. Is there anybody opposed to? I'm sorry, Cal.
I want to have my say.
Go for it, girl.
There are two primary responsibilities of a board of directors: fiscal responsibility and protection and preservation of the assets of the foundation, and insurance that the foundation is doing what it's supposed to do, what it was formed to do. Those are the two ultimate responsibilities of the board. So you need a program council or program committee that looks at that. Are we doing what we're supposed to do?
Yes.
And that is the vision thing. Mm-hmm. That says, you know, we're really hamstrung with national programming right now because of funds. Yes. What can we do about it? You know, or we could say that crazy station manager at KPFT is broadcasting Rush Limbaugh. We've got to do something about that.
Oh, you mind out.
That's not in compliance with our mission.
But we're making all that money.
Okay, folks, I just want to say something. Maybe I missed it because I'm getting tired like everybody else, but I think everybody is making very impassioned arguments for having a program meeting. I haven't heard anybody object to it.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. So are we, do we agree we should have a program committee?
I just would like to know what, it's not that I object to it, I just like to know what it would be able to do.
Okay, but again, I think the finance committee, the governance committee, any committee, we're going to need, before we have a final document in front of us, you're going to have to spell out in it what
so
it does.
So this is an issue now.
Right, we're just saying that, yes, we want to have a program committee. The details still have to be filled in. Okay, is there any objection to a program committee?
No.
Okay, so we got that. Are there a technical, what was the language you used?
I would use technical.
Getting better, though.
I talk long enough, somebody will agree with you. Yeah, so
a technical?
Technical development and maintenance.
Technology committee.
Yes. Okay. A standing technology committee. Or sitting, whatever. Right.
Yeah. If you've already said the business of this foundation is radio, it's not. The business of this foundation is broadcasting.
Peace.
At the time, well, back up a little. At that point, at the time, television wasn't a big issue.
That's what we thought.
Webcasting was not in the
okay, so we got the technology includes all the technologies.
TV.
So. Right, to look at the
whole
thing. Looking at the right, and linking. Okay, does everybody agree that we should have a technology committee?
Should be separate from the programming committee?
Yes.
That's the recommendation. Are there other standing committees that people want to recommend?
Entertainment refreshments.
Oh, there you are.
Also, seriously, that's my...
Personnel committee.
Right. Yeah.
Personnel.
Oh, yeah, right. Personnel committee.
Somebody's here. There's
no lawyers on it.
Carol,
I want to. We have a personnel committee that we did authorize to review personnel policies, to make policy about how hiring and firing decisions would be made, and whether our personnel policies are adequate as far as grievances and all the other things,
right.
Race and diversity. I want to be clear that a personnel committee doesn't hire or fire anybody.
Right.
Right.
It's a policy.
It's only a policy, and it doesn't go into a hiring and firing body, such as a search committee, and tell them what to do. It only works on the policies that govern our various, our organization.
Okay, so with that understanding, everybody agree that we should have a personnel committee? Yes. Okay. Are there any other? We now have five standing.
I say we close.
No.
Motion to
adjourn.
That's exactly.
Well,
that's the role.
Technology.
How about outreach and?
No, I don't think the national board should have an outreach.
And public relations or something.
Huh? Where should best be local?
You know, relationship with other institutions.
Oh.
Archive. A national diversity committee.
We're talking about committees of the bylaws here. We're not talking about all the potential committees that we might want to have someday.
What about standing
committees? Yeah, these are standing
committees. It's going to be a
subcommittee. Okay, Kurt.
I just wanted to, in the TPFA model, I just want to reemphasize the integrated aspect of it. I don't know if this applies to all the committees you're just listing, but in the KPFA model where there are three major committees, the vertical integration is one of the most important aspects. And I think, and I know Carol said it, but I think in this rush of which committees,
right.
It's not getting the consideration. I'm hoping that you will support that language because it is really key to making this model work.
Right.
Okay, integrated between the local and the national.
Exactly. And she's got the formula right there.
All right. What we said, and by the way, all committees are advisory. They can't bind the foundation. They have to bring a recommendation to the board. So all committees... whether standing or ad hoc, shall have at least one director and two station board members from each station area on it. That's our KPFA statement of principle.
Another way you empower the local, which is really
Okay, yeah, Michael.
Can I suggest that you might want to have, you know, there's all this talk about wanting to have an affiliate representative on the board. I might want to suggest that you would want to have a committee specifically focused on the affiliate.
We might. That could come on just, again, other advisory committees.
The first one now.
My sense is that people want to have these five committees.
We've been taking the problem of racism and diversity very seriously. Which committee here would be looking over that?
Personnel.
Diversity.
I think personnel would. I think programming would. I think governance would. I think it has to be integrated into all of them. Finance, for that matter. Okay, folks, again, we're going to have to spell out, you know, some of it is spelled out, you know, some of the particular ideas. We're going to put it into the document. So I think we can move on to the other part, which is it language you have about other advisory committees?
The board may establish such other advisory committees as may be needed to assist the board in developing plans and initiatives to further Pacifica's mission and purposes in such areas as membership, organizational development, affiliate relationships, programming for community development, peace and social justice, financial planning, fundraising and development, technology and infrastructure development, new station planning, review of governance structure and procedures, all, you know, all, the whole laundry list. You can set up in a special committee if you want to.
Okay, yes.
The only question I have is it necessary that those... that be established as a different section?
I think the laundry list doesn't need to be here, but yeah, I think we need something that authorizes other committees. So you could say the board may establish such other advisory committees as may be needed to assist the board.
Period. Yeah, one-liner.
That's fine.
Okay,
advisory committees, whether standing or ad hoc, shall have at least one director and two local station board members on it from each station.
Okay, that's fine.
I can't think of an example now, but in the back of my head I'm thinking there must be an example of that sometimes a very short term ad hoc committee needs to be put together to do something.
Mm-hmm.
The review of the Democracy Now contract. Right? Does that have to have
Well, let's say that you were considering an acquisition, Leslie, as we talked about earlier today.
Right. And you decided a committee you want to...
Subcommittee.
We are ad hoc.
But the board can just, like Carol said, that, you know, that any committee that is needed in the future will be taken into consideration.
No. The part that I'm concerned, that's fine. It's the second part, that all committees, even in this language, even an ad hoc, short-term, task-defined committee, would have to have at least two representatives from each of the local boards.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's the part I'm...
All right, I want to speak to that. Yeah. I think there are occasions where you can't do that. So in some cases, it has to do with legal confidentiality. I would like to put a qualifier in it issues of legal confidentiality are involved. But I want to stand firm on the principle that we don't set up ad hoc committees that come up with great brainstorms that never get talked about at the local level, and all of a sudden at a board meeting, you've got a recommendation for a policy that gets adopted, and everybody goes, "Huh, I never heard of it." I don't think it's good. I think this is much better to not let a committee run without...
Didn't that be one example, you know, once every 4 years or something, you know?
So put a qualifier unless legal confidentiality is involved.
Right, whatever the exact language is.
I don't see how legal confidentiality is a factor in determining whether or not something should or should not be shared with a particular region or area. I mean,
somebody off the board of directors is the question.
Sorry.
Right. Okay. So I think we have general agreement. Obviously, a lot more details to be figured out. All right. It's now 9:15. My fantasy of, you know, covering four articles. We got half of them done. We got
pretty
six
good.
And seven done.
The goal is to finish by 3:00 tomorrow, right? The whole thing.
Well, the meeting will end eventually tomorrow. Do you have a...
How are you going to do that if you don't keep going?
Well... So how are we going to do it if we do keep going? I think it's unproductive at a certain point, right? People just thought, but we will have to do, folks, tomorrow. We really need to start on time. We need to start at 9. We need to do our best. And we will need to, folks, please.
Are you in there?
Folks, we will need to have some amount of time at some point in the afternoon to figure out what the next steps are going to be. Depending on how far we've gotten, what the schedule is going to, you know, how we're going to proceed. Because, I doubt we're going to get through it all tonight.
You ready for it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. There are a few controversial things. The truth of the matter is, the experience to date has been that on items that are not, heated, in the heated way controversial, people have different ideas, people need to be able to talk about them. Everything takes a chunk of time. So we'll try to move through as much as, we have to see where we go, how quickly we can do it.
Housekeeping matter?
Yeah.
I would like to ask everybody in this room to help us reset it the way we need, the way it was. The people from Houston know how it goes. I'm going to take chairs out of here and put them back. But we need help to reset the room.
Okay.
Great.
What's going to happen about these items that we deal with later?
Tomorrow. We have to figure out what we can do tomorrow. If we should go back to those items, or if we should take up some other items and figure out there may be some others that have to be dealt with later. I think tonight is adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome in.
Okay. Oh, well.